Our scripture reading for today is from Joshua 24:15. This is found on page 169 of your pew Bibles. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day who you will serve, whether the gods of your forefathers who serve beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Happy New Year's Eve, everybody.
Happy New Year's Eve.
So, with the show of hands, who has any New Year's resolutions? Few. So we don't have a very ambitious crowd here, but so keep your hands up, and if you made resolutions in the past and you failed them. All right. I bet each and every one of us has had a resolution in the past that we didn't reach. And one of the reasons that we have failed goals is because we did not make them SMART. Now, SMART is an acronym to how we should build our resolutions. The S stands for specific, M stands for measurable, A stands for achievable, R stands for realistic, and T stands for timely. So an example of a bad resolution would be, I want to work out more, but how much is more? 5 minutes? 5 seconds? Well, a better example of a resolution would be, I want to work out half an hour every morning for 2 months. So that sounds a little more achievable. So, it is also very important that if you have multiple goals, that you keep them in the proper perspective so that you can accomplish the most important goal first. The most important resolution that I believe you guys should have for this new year is building a more godly home. And here's a letter that a college student wrote to our parents. I'm going to read to you. Dear Mom and Dad, I'm so sorry to be long in writing you. Unfortunately, all my stationery was destroyed the night our dormitory was set on fire by the demonstrators. I'm out of the hospital now, and the doctors say my eyesight should return sooner or later. The wonderful boy Bill, who rescued me from the fire, kindly offered to share his little apartment with me until the dorm is rebuilt. He comes from a good family, so you wouldn't be surprised when I tell you we're going to be married. In fact, since you've always wanted a grandchild, you'd be glad to know you'll be grandparents in several months. Signed, your loving daughter. P.S. Please disregard the above practice at English composition. There was no fire. I haven't been in the hospital. I'm not pregnant, and I don't even have a steady boyfriend. But I did get a D in French and an F in chemistry, and I just wanted to make sure you received the news in proper perspective. So, we have to have our goals in the proper perspective, and when it comes to building a more godly home, this one is more important than all the other goals you may have for the new year. I'm going to tell you guys 3 tips to give you some ideas on how you can achieve this resolution. The first tip I have for you is teamwork. Teamwork is the foundation for building a more godly home. The goal should be both mom and dad's goal. So if you are the father, building a godly home will obviously require a personal commitment. But if the mother does not make it a commitment or a priority, he will have a tough time getting the job done, just as the mother would have a tough time getting the job done without him. So not only do the parents need to work together, but the children and every other family member living in the home needs to as well. If mom and dad fail, the foundation for this resolution will crumble. Also, as the parents, you need to take the lead. But as your kids get older, let them contribute to the team that is your family by letting them choose what they want to learn and by picking some family devotions. This will further reinforce the teamwork in the home. So parents, as you know, you have to be a strong foundation for your kids, and there will be many challenges that the world will throw out to you. And when you try to keep a godly home, there will be challenges, and these challenges will be stresses of your day at work, rude people, bad drivers, and whatever else that'll challenge you during the day. But it is important, no matter how stressful the day was, do not bring it home. This will provide an area in the foundation to fall apart. Always bring warmth to the home, even if you don't feel like it. And by warmth, I don't mean bring some good blankets. What I mean by warmth is always bring positivity back home in front of your kids. Say kind words around them and to them. Be a good listener and encourage them. Being a source of warmth to your family will give a feeling of safety and comfort in your home. So, with a show of hands, have any of you guys ever heard of Greg Swindell? A few baseball fans. Okay, so Greg Swindell was a pitcher for the Cleveland Indians. And when Greg Swindell pitched for the Cleveland Indians, the game didn't always go his way. In fact, after 16 years in the major leagues, he won 123 games and lost 122. So you think the pressure is bad at your office. For Greg, thousands of people were there to see his successes and see his failures. And if you could have gotten a good look at Greg's baseball cap, you would have seen one of the secrets to how he kept his cool when the pressure was on or when things weren't going very well. Stitched in white, in very small letters on the underside of his cap, was January 21st, 1991. Now, what was the significance of that date? Well, that was the date of his daughter Sydney's birthday. So when things are going badly or when he's getting booed by the crowd, he can take it off, look at it, and know what he has to look forward to when he got home. So whether you stitch a date on your cap or simply keep a photo on your desk, visual reminders of where your priorities lay will help you through any day as long as you make it a priority. The next tip I want to give to you is have more discernment in your family. In church, we tend to throw this word around. The definition of discernment is the ability to decide what is true or false and right and wrong. One famous theologian by the name of Charles Spurgeon said this about discernment. Discernment is not a matter of simply telling the difference between right and wrong. Rather, it is telling the difference between right and almost right. Discernment is a hard concept to master. We are not perfect. We will make mistakes, and Satan will try to hold those failures over you to discourage you. However, we need to make building a godly home an act of discernment every day, so those mistakes will happen less and less. Psalm 119:66 says, "Teach me good discernment and knowledge, for I believe in your commandments." Ironically, when we try to make our homes more pleasing to God, we tend to rely on ourselves more instead of relying on God. That is one of the biggest mistakes that we can make. We need to grow our individual and family relationship with God for our ability to discern, to flourish. Some things you can do to accomplish this is by praying as a family and praying for your family every day. Also, you should read the Bible as a family every day. There are some really good devotions that your family can participate in. Just pick a time a day and try to hold on to that time and protect it. So why do we need to do this? We need to be held accountable with God. He will teach us to discern between the things that will please him and the things that do not. When we make mistakes, we need to let God take control. When you are intentional with taking steps to make your home more godly, God will indeed show up and make your wishes come true for your home. I want you to take a look at Joseph. He started out young, and he made many mistakes, some of which helped get him sold into slavery. And as time went on, he learned about trust. He learned to trust in God through many circumstances, both good and bad. Because he learned to trust God to teach him, you see him grow in maturity and discernment. When we take care to avoid the landmines of sin, greed, wrong attitudes, and violence, then our homes will take on the air of godliness we desire. Psalm 101, verse 2 says this, "I will walk into my home with a blameless heart." So if we are completely honest with ourselves, we can take a walk through our homes, look at the way we live at home, and immediately see things that need to be changed and done in order to make our homes more godly this year. And remember, going back to our first point, this is something that must be a priority for everyone in the home. But if each member of the family isn't committed to building a godly home, it won't work. So, are you willing to work together and be discerning as a family? If so, you are on your way to a great year. You certainly cannot control what your neighbors or the rest of your culture does, but you can run and make decisions for your own home and for your family that'll bring honor to God. I will list a few practical suggestions for you and your family to give you ideas on what areas you can be more discerning on this year, so that making a more godly home is achievable this year. So the first suggestion I have for you is to be mindful of the music played in your home. There is no doubt that Sunday is not the only time and day to worship God. We should worship God every day, and a great way to do it is through music. So we can see in our hearts there's a clear connection between the music we listen to and the actions we take. The RAND Corporation did a study a few years back. The RAND Corporation is an American nonprofit think tank created in 1948 by Douglas Aircraft Company to offer research and analysis to the United States Armed Forces. The study followed more than 1,400 teens for 3 years, and it showed that sexually charged lyrics had a direct impact on the sexual actions of those who listened to those lyrics. Also, the study compared all kinds of music, and those that had explicit lyrics had the worst impact on those teens. So if you are clueless about the music your kids listen to, I would listen to some of their songs. If there are any explicit lyrics, ask your kids why they're listening to this music and what they're getting from it. So naturally, we know the notes of an instrument do not take on any levels of morality, but it is the lyrics itself that tell the story. From a practical standpoint, there's no denying that we remember the words of our favorite songs. But what about the songs that we dislike? I'd say remember them more. You don't believe me? Well, I'm going to say a line to a jingle, and I want you guys to finish. So, like a good neighbor, $5, $5. What would you do for a condom? So, give me a break, give me a break, break me off a piece of that. So, parents, it isn't just the modern music that your kids are listening to that have bad messages. I understand that I may hit a couple of heartstrings, but check out these songs from the Beatles. So the first song I have for you is Tomorrow Never Knows. I'm going to read a few lyrics. Turn off your mind, relax, and float downstream. It is not dying, it is not dying. Lay down your thoughts, surrender to the void. It is shining, it is shining. Yet you may see the meaning of within. It is being, it is being. Love is all, and love is everyone. It is knowing, it is knowing. And the second song I have for you, Got to Get You Into My Life, the first verse. I was alone, I took a ride, I didn't know what I would find there. Another road where maybe I could see another kind of mind there. And one of their most popular songs, Hey Jude. And this one is left for interpretation, but I'll read a few lyrics. Hey Jude, don't make it bad, take a sad song and make it better. Remember to let her into your heart, then you can start to make it better. Hey Jude, don't be afraid. You were made to go out and get her. The minute you let her under your skin, then you begin to make it better. So he's trying to convince a guy named Jude to try some heroin. And the other two songs I read to you have plenty of drug references, and in fact, they are about taking drugs. So I know these songs are catchy, but we still need to be careful of the messages that are conveyed in these songs. So it is very important to be aware of the lyrics of the music played in your home. I'm not saying you only have to listen to Christian music. There are a lot of good secular music out there. You just have to search for it and be more discerning on the messages. The second suggestion I would like to give you is being aware of what your family sees. Psalm 101:3 says, I will not set my eyes before anything that is worthless. So have you guys ever heard of the Christian Appalachian Project? The founder is a man named Father Ralph W. Bading. And he tells of an Easter visit he and some of his ministry volunteers made one year to families living along a Kentucky mountain creek bed. They stopped at one shack where a man and woman lived with their children. Their only heat was from a fireplace. They proudly ushered their visitors over to a corner of the dim room where their two-month-old child lay. The baby wasn't in a crib, a bassinet, a cradle, or even a pillow-lined basket. This child, the family's most precious treasure, lay in a cage made of tightly woven chicken wire. Bating said, after a moment of stunned silence, my curiosity got the better of me, and I asked the parents why they had their little child in this cage, and I'll never forget the answer. The father said, we have to keep him in a little cage so that the rats won't eat on him. So it wasn't cruelty that motivated this father when he took the chicken wire and built the cage. On the contrary, like nearly every parent, he deeply loved his newborn son. No doubt he built every bit of that chicken wire cage with love in his hands and a desperate hope in his heart to protect his child. So parents, what kind of cages have you built in your home? Is there a cage around your TV? Is there a cage around your computer or video games? We don't have a cage around these things to filter them before they get into your home. It is like an unhindered sewer line that brings filth into your home and stinks it up. If we ignore it long enough, we become desensitized to it, and we won't be able to recognize that it is a problem. Every parent will take steps of cage building and have different rules for your home. But both parents need to be on the same page. The Bible says a godly home will put no vile things before its eyes. So TV, internet, and video games can bring sewage into your home and stink it up if you don't filter what comes through it. One last tip that I have for you is to have fulfilling relationships. The relationships you create will either make you or break you. Our deepest relationships should be with those who build us up. They will be able to support you in your goal of making your home more godly this year. You will also be able to support them as well. When we surround ourselves and our family with godly things and people, we will be less likely to stumble. When we are in a community of believers, we can be a witness to our community and non-believers. If we pause for just a moment and consider something that is unfortunately very true, some of the people who are hinder our goal the most this year of making our home more godly is family. And most of us will have family gatherings coming up soon, especially tonight. So here's the point. If you made building a godly home a priority and you have taken several practical steps to make it that way, you will grow to a point where pleasing God is by far your biggest goal this year and the years following. Your family will watch your example, and if you have a bad incident at a family gathering, it would be beneficial to debrief your children on the way home so they will understand those actions are unacceptable and they should not be copied. So I'm going to conclude this message today with our scripture and an illustration. Joshua 24:15 says this, "But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." This is a hard goal to attain, but it will require sacrifice. And here is my last illustration I have for you. One day, a Sunday school teacher was telling the story of Lazarus and the rich man. There sat Lazarus outside the wealthy homeowner's gate, covered with sores and begging for food. The rich man passed by and paid no attention to him. They both died, and Lazarus went to heaven, and the rich man himself found in far less desirable circumstances. When she had finished telling the story, she asked her students, "Now, which would you rather be, old Moneybags or Lazarus?" One little boy responded, "I would like to be the rich man until I died, and then Lazarus afterwards." He expressed a desire that most of us have. We want it both ways. We want to have our cake, and we want to eat it too, so to speak. When we make building a more godly home a priority, it will cost you dearly. You will have to monitor yourself and change things that your family is used to. But if you let God be the center of your home, it will change and will be a home that will bring honor to God. So we have to make a choice, unlike the little boy in the story who wanted both. Just like Joshua was giving the people of Israel a choice to sacrifice their old way of life and to adopt the new way of life God has for them, we need to make the same choice for our family. No matter what other families choose to do or what the culture tells us what we need to do, we need to have the same resolve as Joshua when he said, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Now, Joshua made the smart resolution that year, didn't he? So let us conclude our service by singing hymn 655.